Broadcast Studios. This is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Thank you for joining us this afternoon on ABQ Connect from the Power Ford Studios, Faith Family Ford. Special guest today, Rabbi Burrell Levertov. Thank you for coming. He is a rabbi in Santa Fe, New Mexico, and our friend John Sondager, who has been on the program in past years with Peter Benson. And we are excited to talk about a special event coming up in November. Eva Schloss, who is the stepsister of Anne Frank, and many Christians will remember the book, The Diary of Anne Frank, and reading about how she and her family helped some people escape the oppression of Germany. And it was an absolutely tragic story, uplifting story, and an amazing thing. And Eva Schloss is scheduled to come to Santa Fe, New Mexico. Rabbi, thank you for joining us. And tell us a little bit about the event coming up in November.
Thank you for having us on here. It's an honor to be here.
Yes.
And the November is tomorrow, right?
That's right, tomorrow.
This is happening November 17th on Sunday. It's going to be 2 weeks from this coming Sunday at the Lenzik. We're very, very fortunate to have Eva Schloss come to Santa Fe. It was very difficult to get her to come. She's already 90 years old.
Mm.
She lives in London, and she doesn't make her travels too frequently. She was already going to cancel this tour, and through some connections, we kept begging and asking, and finally we got her to come down to Santa Fe. So it's a really big event. We're really excited to have her. She's an amazing, amazing speaker. Her story is a story of hope and triumph. She doesn't focus that much on her trials and tribulations and the hardships, but more how she overcame.
Right.
So we're hoping people will hear her story, but also leave very uplifted.
Rabbi, this seems like maybe an oversimplified question, but none of us can imagine the tragedy of the Holocaust. But it's interesting to me that I actually hear discussions about people questioning that as a historical event, which seems to just reinforce more oppression to the Jewish people. Why do you think God has had the Jewish people endure so many difficulties over history?
Wow. Loaded question. I can't say why.
Mm-hmm.
But I do know that going after 3,000 years, 3,331 years from the moment we stood at the foot of Mount Sinai, the miracle that we exist today is just unbelievable.
Yes.
So the fact that after the Holocaust, and remember the history, right after the Holocaust, even after the Holocaust, it was a very difficult time for Jewish people, and no one really had much hope for us. And here we are, we're back again. Thank God the world is a great place for Jewish people today. I don't think we've ever had it as great as we have it today. So is it despite all the persecution? Is it maybe because of all the persecution? We definitely have a special mission in the world, and I think it's an amazing time and a miracle to see us here today.
Yeah. John, what do you say about that?
My perspective, being non-Jewish, is that God chose this people to be a light unto the nations, a priestly nation.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that the adversary, whom I believe is alive and well, named Satan, the devil, whatever, would have chosen to destroy those people because they are God's special people. Mm-hmm. They are not special because they're Jewish. They're special because God chose them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's irrational, illogical, for one group of people to be so persecuted specifically, universally, year after year, century after century, millennium after millennia, other than to say there's a force that's behind it. And I think my wife, we have a child who is Down syndrome, and she said to me one time, trying to explain the persecution of the Jews, if you really want to hurt a parent, you hurt their children. Mm-hmm. You really, really want to hurt me, hurt my child. Mm-hmm. You really want to hurt God, hurt his children. I'm not saying that's the answer, but I think that they have been forged in fire, and they're an example to all of us. And that's one of the reasons that we as Christians in our organization, Yad Beyond, just as fellow believers like like Calvary is such a strong supporter of Israel. Mm-hmm. We come alongside them because we share that history. I won't go into all that, but I think there's a specialness about them, and we're just pleased to be a part of coming alongside them.
Well, and I want to ask both of you. I mean, we have a Jewish rabbi, and we have a Christian evangelist, really, in the same room, working for the same purpose, loving each other, caring for each other, and I'm blessed by that. And John, tell me about Yad Biyad and kind of the mission of that organization, and elaborate a little bit more about why you are so focused on supporting Israel.
I'm going to read the Yad Biyad purpose statement. Before I do, anybody who reads the Tanakh, which is the old, what we call the Old Testament, the Torah plus the writings of the prophets and the letters, anybody who reads the Tanakh realizes that we are connected to those people. Christianity did not come out of Buddhism. We did not come out of Islam. We came out of and are part of Israel, the Jewish faith, mm-hmm. the covenant people. And as my wife and I and others like us, this church included, mm-hmm. and other churches, realized that the shameful history of Christian anti-Semitism, and that's got to be the ultimate oxymoron for a Christian to be anti-Semitic. And we'll talk about anti-Semitism in this program. But we believe that these are our brothers and sisters. We divert when it comes to who the Messiah is. Mm-hmm. But as a rabbi told me years ago, we will agree to disagree agreeably. And we have brothers. So let me read that Yad Biyad statement. Yad Biyad is a very loose organization. It was formed by my wife and I and others about over 20-some years ago, realizing that we needed to know more about Judaism. Our ignorance was pretty pathetic. Most people don't even know about Christian anti-Semitism. So this is the purpose statement that is read and every time Yad Biyad gets together, which is people, Jews and Christians, coming together to learn about each other. We bring in speakers. We support common causes. It is our goal to relate to Israel and the Jewish people with kindness and respect, to be a source of solace and comfort, and to be a blessing to them by standing in solidarity with them in their times of need. We strive to reverse the tainted record of Christian witness towards Israel and to demonstrate in its place the genuine, unconditional love God asks of us. We will raise Israel off in our prayers, develop sensitivity to Jewish concerns, and become knowledgeable of her land, people, history, and faith. We will lend our talent, resources, and cooperation for important Jewish endeavors, including raising awareness of anti-Semitism and the plight of distressed Jews immigrating and resettling their homeland. The activities we organize must not be a vehicle for any activity that could be interpreted as proselytizing, but rather a hand extended to our Jewish neighbors both here and in Israel in deep apology, promised support, and love that does not require anything in return. Yad Biyad is Hebrew for hand in hand. May Hashem, God, be pleased as he sees us Christians and Jews reach out to each other, each other's hand. And the Bible says how good and pleasant it is when brothers live together in unity.
Beautiful.
Yes. Rabbi Levertov, tell us about Eva Schloss and why you want to bring her here and why, obviously, she's not just coming because you convinced her. She's obviously seeing and feeling a leading to be here, like God saying, get to New Mexico and to Santa Fe. Tell us why she's doing that.
You're on to some point. In order to convince her, one of the things we convinced her was she was very happy to hear about Santa Fe. She heard so much about Santa Fe, about the culture and about the art. And so that was a little bit of a tipping point because she doesn't really like to go to places that are cold. Mm. Somehow they think New Mexico is warm the way she comes here. But she was very impressed about the art and culture. In fact, her brother was an artist, and he perished as well. Mm. But in hiding, he painted some paintings, and she speaks a lot about her brother's art, and we're hoping to even get some of the lithos of her brother's art and be able to have it in display. It's a big part of her story. Her brother did not make it out, but in hiding, he did some amazing paintings. So that's one side of it, but she has been speaking nonstop. She has spoken to about 1,000 crowds, And it's interesting that till about 1980s, she didn't speak anything, didn't talk about her story at all. It was only in 1985 or 86 when she started speaking about her story. Somehow, there was an Anne Frank exhibit, and she went there, and someone asked her a question. She threw it out, and all of a sudden she started speaking, and then she realized she has a story to tell, and less people have that story. And she started going around and realizing it's important to share her story. So her story is not only about Anne Frank, or not focused necessarily on Anne Frank. Her own personal story is an incredible story of survival. And, of course, trials and tribulations leading up to that.
Now, she was incarcerated and part of a camp.
So her story is that she grew up in Austria. Mm-hmm. And then they went to Anschluss when the Germans came in. The Nazis came in, they fled, and then they ended up in Amsterdam, and there they met Anne Frank. Eventually it became difficult in Amsterdam itself, and they went into hiding. Mm. But they had to keep moving places, because every time they came to a place to hide, they said, after a while, they said, you have to go. We can't do this anymore. It's dangerous. They had to have rations, and anybody who was found they had to give their life. It was very difficult. And then she finally found another place. It turned out the person that they trusted and they paid to hide them was actually a double agent, was a Dutch from the Dutch police, and she turned them in.
Oh, gosh.
So that's her at the end of her story in Amsterdam, and subsequently she was deported.
You know, that's why I'm so impressed. Obviously, you know Susie Sondager, and Susie has been on the program to share about Corrie Ten Boom. Of course, Corrie was a Christian woman hiding Jewish folks that were fleeing Germany, and the fact that people would give their lives to protect other people is an amazing thing. I mean, what an amazing testimony. And I know there's many, many stories in the Jewish community about that same type of sacrifice and that same type of dedication. And stories of betrayal are so difficult to stomach. I remember reading the diary of Anne Frank and some of the apprehension and tension that was created just trying to remain quiet while there were officials like the Gestapo, you know, down on the lower levels of the house and outside, and the terror that the individuals felt in their hearts. And that's all just heartbreaking. But there's a massive victory for the people that survived. And really, I would say a massive victory for the people that died, because they're with the Lord. And I can only say that I'm just glad to have you here. We got a lot more to talk about in the next 45 minutes or so that you're spending with us. So stay with us on ABQ Connect. We'll be back after these messages.
This is Pastor Scott Tom. Are you new in town? Looking for a church? Visit us at Cross Christian Fellowship. We have verse-by-verse teaching, casual dress, and contemporary worship. There are great opportunities for community and service. We are located just north of Osuna on Edith. For more information, visit crossfellowship.org. See you at the cross.
Is there something about your house that chills you? Are there strange sounds coming from your furnace? When darkness falls, do your pipes clank and moan? Whatever it is, give the guys at Bosca Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing a call at 444-7200. Their friendly service professionals are ready to bust even the scariest of home HVAC issues. Just dial Bosca at 444-7200. That's 444-7200.
Depression. It's invisible, it can be devastating, and it's on the rise in America. Hopelessness is an epidemic, but that can change.
I can't tell you how many times in my life I thought the flood would overwhelm me, but Isaiah promised, if you pass through the waters, they will not overflow you.
That's Ben Corson. And concerning depression, he knows of what he speaks.
Depression is a real malady, and it's a real sickness. You know, we've gone through it, so many of us. But I think that's one of the most toxic sentences we can ever say. I'm going to live with depression. That's a bunch of bunk.
This book, Optimist Fits by Ben Corson, can be a lifeline for you or someone close to you who's struggling with depression. And we want to put it in your hands now. Let Ben Corson take you on his journey through the valley of the shadow and out in the sunshine of hope.
When you kneel before God, God will stand up for you.
OptiMisfits is yours for a generous donation of $35 or more today. Your support helps keep these teachings on air to connect more people to Jesus. So call now to give 800-922-1888 or give online securely at connectwithskip.com/offer.
To a patient with High Desert Hospice, something as simple as a caring touch, a smile, a prayer, or even just physical presence can bring comfort beyond measure.
I offer caring, comfort, and support to patients and families at a very trying time in their lives. Making a difference is a wonderful blessing, both to them and to me.
Discover just how easy and fulfilling volunteering with High Desert Hospice can be. Go to highdeserthospice.care. That's highdeserthospice.care and click on volunteer.
You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
We are joined this afternoon with ABQ Connect with Rabbi Burrell Levertov from Santa Fe and John Sondager of Yad Biyad. And these two gentlemen are friends.
Yes.
And they have some differing beliefs, but they're both very excited to share with us about Speaker Eva Schloss coming to Santa Fe, New Mexico, to the Lensic Performing Arts Center, November 17th at 1 o'clock p.m. Purpose of our show today is not to just let everybody know about the event, but to really start to understand what the association between Christianity and Judaism is, and really understand the story of the Holocaust and the things that went on and the suffering. And John, I want to start this segment by saying, why is it important for Christians to know this story?
I think there's lots of reasons, but one of the most important one is for us to understand that the specter of anti-Semitism that was so evident in Nazi Germany with the murder of 6 million or more Jews has not gone away. It is a historical event. People are questioning, which is ridiculous.
Right.
I know that President Eisenhower, who was General Eisenhower at the time, required hundreds of photographers to go into the concentration camps because he wisely projected that someday the world may not think that there really was a Holocaust, and he wanted to prove it. Mm-hmm. And it's not just about the tragedy of the Holocaust. It's the tragedy, I think, of that how Christianity let down the Jews. Mm-hmm. We, as Christians, don't understand there's been a wall built between our faiths, not just because of who the Messiah is or isn't, but because of what's happened over the centuries. And when I was first got involved in understanding Judaism and the history of Christian Jewish faith, for example, the Crusades. You think of the Crusades as this wonderful thing of the wonderful knights going and freeing the land, the Holy Land from the Muslims and bringing Christianity back to the Holy Land. All that's true, but they also herded together Jews in Jerusalem and burned them alive in the synagogue, singing hymns as they marched around the synagogue. The atrocities that we don't think about. So when we see the cross on the Crusaders' helmets and shields, that's a positive thing for us. For the Jews, that's not so positive. Mm-hmm. The Inquisition, the Spanish Inquisition, where many Jews were killed for not converting, and on and on and on, and especially the Holocaust. But when we see the persons involved in the Holocaust, it's not just a historical event. That's why this person who's a survivor of the Holocaust, Eva Schloss, she and her mother, along with Anne Frank and her mother, were taken to the concentration camps, Auschwitz-Birkenau. Tragically, Anne Frank and her mother perished. Eva Schloss and her mother survived. And Eva's mother married Anne Frank's father. So that's how they became stepsisters. So this is not just, she didn't just meet Anne Frank. I mean, there's a connection there.
Right.
But what they went through as real people, that's why the story of Anne Frank, this is a young girl that we can relate to. It's not just some historical figure. It's a person. And how did we, as the Western world, as the Christian world, how did we let them down? My wife says in her presentation to Corrie ten Boom, the world was made up of victims, of perpetrators, and then bystanders and rescuers. And the number of rescuers is minuscule. When you think of 6 million people who were murdered, the number of rescuers, although we're proud of Christians and Jews who protected them, it's minuscule. The biggest number wasn't the perpetrators. It was the bystanders. Mm. The Christian world stood by and allowed this to happen. What could have been done, I'm not wise enough to say. But when we realize that we are united because we believe in the same Almighty God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Mm. What they call the Tanakh is their term for what we call the Old Testament, the writings, the Torah, the Nephilim, the Kutim, which is all a part of our history. The New Testament makes no sense without the Old Testament. It's not two books. It's one holy book. My dear brother here will say, not so much with the New Testament, but that's okay. That's why we can enjoy each other and as we can study together.
And he's not tearing any pages out.
No, he's not. No. And it's, but what we need to learn is that this should never happen again. But it is happening again. It's happening again where the anti-Semitism is on the rise again. And are we going to, as Christians, are we going to be bystanders again? Are we going to come alongside them? And I think it's a lesson of unity that we need to provide. The other thing that's important is when we personalize it, the Anne Franks, and we'll meet the Eva Schloss, and when my wife does the Corrie ten Boom presentation, these are people just like us. And what can we learn from them? What can we learn from Anne Frank? I mean, that's the story of Anne Frank is taught in schools. It's almost mandatory reading, and it should be.
Yes.
So how do we learn from it? What can we learn from it? I think an Eva Schloss can help us understand not just the horrors of the Holocaust, but what she learned from it, how she survived through it, and how, again, the Corrie ten Boom story. Corrie lost her whole family in the Holocaust, and they weren't Jews. They were protecting Christians.
Right.
And she came out of that with a forgiveness that's remarkable for all of us.
Yes. Rabbi, you have Eva Schloss's book in front of you. Do you have a segment that you might want to read to us?
Yes, a random page that I'm opening up. The book is called Eva's Story, A Survivor's Tale by the Stepsister of Anne Frank. It's been reprinted with a new interview with Eva, and those who are purchasing some of the tickets will get the book. She's going to be signing the books, and hopefully we'll still have some leftovers for sale. We already ran out of the first order that we ordered, and we just ordered more, but the printing house has been sold out. So I'm going to read one page of this. This is in Auschwitz. She's about 15 at this point.
15-year-old girl in Auschwitz. I mean, that just makes me tremble. Just
personalize
setting that stage.
Yes. Yeah.
At that point, there was commotion outside the camp. We could hear the dogs barking wildly and sounds of shooting. Someone had attempted to escape. We could hear the SS running backwards and forwards, shouting instructions to each other. Kapos were summoned, and we were left standing in our rows. Within the hour, gallows were erected, and all of the inmates were summoned to witness the hanging. It was to be an example to us. The escapee, who was a slightly built woman with a shaven head, was dragged forward. She was disheveled and her feet were bare. Her hands were bound behind her and there was bloodstains on her dress. Mutti, that's her mother, tried to stand in front of me so that I would not see what was going on. But although it was happening before me and although I was forced to look, I did not really see it. None of us saw the hanging. We were forced to look, but we did not see. Even after this, there was always someone trying to run away. Each morning after Appel, when prisoners were taken outside the camp to various places of work, the desire to escape was very strong. Armed guards patrolled with their dogs, ready to chase and pull down anyone moving out of line. I really believed that no one could ever get away. I was afraid most of the time, but occasionally hope rose inside me, despite our awful situation. After being allocated to work unit, six of us were taken to one side and given the privilege of wearing a striped prison dress. Then we were lined up with 400 or so workers allocated to, quote, Canada. As we walked through the gates, I was uplifted by the sense of freedom. This is quite an adventure, I whispered to Mati. We left the camp, preceded by a little band playing marching music.
Rabbi Levertov reading the story of Eva Schloss to us, and Eva Schloss is going to be coming to the Lensic Performing Arts Center in Santa Fe Sunday, November 17th at 1 o'clock p.m. Tickets are on sale. We'll be back with more with John and Rabbi Levertov right after these messages. Stay with us on ABQ Connect.
Gonset Physical Medicine specializes in the diagnosis and treatment of spinal ligament injury. Don't ignore the pain and discomfort any longer. Schedule a consultation today at gonsted-nm.com or 505-884-8584.
Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Matthew 7:12. Hello, Scott Simpkins from Petrie Buick GMC and Petrie Kia. That's one of my favorite verses. It reminds us how to treat others, to be kind, respectful, and honest, among other things. That's a core value at Petrie. We love helping customers and always do so in the same manner we would want to be treated. If you have any automotive needs, including service, I invite you to stop by Petrie Buick GMC or Petrie Kia on Eagle Ranch Road across from the Cottonwood Mall.
Hello, friends. My name is Brian Allard. I'm the president of America Praise and New Mexico Praise. I want to invite you and your family to join us at the Albuquerque Convention Center on Saturday, November 2nd at 10 a.m. for Convoy of Hope. We would love to partner with you to bless our community with over $1 million worth of goods and services, including free groceries, shoes for kids, haircuts, family portraits, and lunch from Chick-fil-A. No ID required. Visit convoy.org/Albuquerque.
Relationships are one of God's most precious gifts to us. Hi, I'm Bob Lapine. Each day on Family Life Today with Dennis Rainey, we look at what Jesus described as the two most important commandments, loving God and loving each other, especially in our family relationships. Join us each weekday on KNKT-FM for Family Life Today to develop godly marriages and families that change the world one home at a time.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
And we want to greet everybody this afternoon from the Santa Fe Jewish Center, Chabad. Did I say it right?
Whoa, that was good. Can you say it again?
Chabad?
Wow.
Chabad.
Chabad.
Very
okay.
Good.
Well, and you know, the pastor of Calvary Albuquerque, Skip Heitzig, spends a lot of time in Israel and is I don't know if he's a fluent Hebrew speaker, but he has all the inflections and all those things, so I don't have that.
But my dear Jewish friend said, do you know why? Because a part of the Hebrew language is a ch, like Tanakh and Chabad. He said, well, that's after 400 years, or excuse me, 40 years wandering in the desert wilderness trying to clear their throat. That was from a rabbi.
That's very funny. Well, you know.
Fine, we'll let it go.
In our previous segment.
Wait, how do you say Mashiach?
Mashiach.
Okay, good. I just wanted to know.
Well,
which is Messiah.
I'm going to fail all these pronunciations just out of the box. But, you know, I do have to say, as you look at the Old Testament, or the Tanakh, mm-hmm. You are looking at a book that describes people not really learning from what God's trying to teach them throughout history. So, Rabbi, I want to talk to you about your congregation up in Santa Fe. As a rabbi, you want people to learn from their life experiences. You want them to take the word of God that you are teaching them, and you want them to apply that to your life. I mean, tell us how you try to achieve that in your congregation.
Whoa. So the way we achieve that is by serving good food with kugel. And
just like Baptists and everybody else.
Oh, you know? Yeah. Break bread and that'll solve it.
I thought it was a Jewish thing.
Well, we picked it up from you. You guys started it.
That's
remember
right.
That. We come out of you.
So our organization is an international organization. Each one is independently owned and operated, but it's under the umbrella of the Chabad headquarters in New York, led by a very dedicated leader, Rabbi Menachem Schneerson, who passed away in 1994, has not been replaced because no one feels able to even think about stepping in his shoes. But he was in Germany right before the Holocaust. He ran away. He escaped. He went to France, and then from France he came to New York. And so he was very lucky and very blessed that he was able to make it out. But he understood. He's studied under the philosophers in Germany. He understood what anti-Semitism is, and he understood where the Jewish people are. In 1940s in New York, there was not much hope for them. And we were blessed to have this great leader, and he came by, and his idea was that everything that we've been studying for 3,000 years now was coming to head. Now it's the time to really rebuild Judaism from scratch, out of the ashes. And he's a very strong supporter of Israel. There's many, many correspondents and many great leaders of Israel came to visit with him. And his opinion was to stand strong and not to be swayed by public opinion, not to be swayed by the international community who didn't stand for us during the Holocaust. So there's no point in really trying to appease them. We're trying to make them feel part of the experience and just do what's right. He instilled Jewish pride into children, into adults. He really helped families rebuild. My father came from Russia. His father never made it out of Russia. He died in the Russian gulags. So he had a father stuck in Russia, not alive, and then a mother stuck in Russia. And he had only a brother here. Very broken families. And that was the typical to our community in Brooklyn. And he spent, Rabbi Schneerson, the Rebbe, we know him as the Rebbe, spent a lot of time helping them, advising them. The Rebbe helped my mother and the father decide who to marry. He sat hours, spent tremendous amount of time. And over the 40 years, he built up this tremendous community. But his main mission was that the Jews are not, we shouldn't just be care about our own families, our own communities, but go out and rebuild Judaism all over the world. So he sent my brother-in-law's father, who was Ashkenazi Jew from Russia, who lost half of his family, was encouraged by the Rebbe to go to Morocco to help the schools there. And he says, I don't speak French. I don't speak Arabic. And the Rebbe encouraged him and says, you could do it. And this is one tiny example of one person. The Rebbe kept on sending other people, go to Australia. He sent my uncle to Australia, others to France, others, Tangier, Algeria. Now we're in Alaska, China. Anywhere there are Jews, there's Chabad. And the point was that we're not going to try to rebuild only our family, but all of Jewish people and are part of a family. So it was a very big risk, so to speak, and a very big commitment on his part. It wasn't glorious. It wasn't exciting. It was very, very dedicated. It took a lot of dedication and self-sacrifice from these people. So he created all these great systems and synagogues and Jewish centers, and mostly to encourage Jews who have been devastated, who have been swayed by the modern life and are questioning the ideals of Judaism and trying to figure out how to fit old traditional Judaism with a new modern world. And it was very challenging. Like, wait a second, all these ideas and all the basics of Judaism that we believe in somehow doesn't fit with modern technology, modern outlook on the world, and so on. So he spent a lot of time explaining and encouraging and telling us, don't get swayed, don't worry. The human conditions are the same. It's the same God. God still wants us to rest on the seventh day and Sabbath. God still wants us to celebrate the Passover. And if someone, one of his main focuses was, one of his main pointers were, if someone can't do everything, at least they should do one thing. It's not all or nothing. So he came up with a campaign to wrap phylacteries or tefillin on people in the streets, Jewish people.
Uh-huh.
And it was taken by shock by most traditional Jews. Like, why are you taking such a sacred object into the streets of Manhattan, the streets of anywhere in France, in Israel? And today it's become so common when you've been to the Kotel. Did anybody wrap tefillin with you?
No, they didn't.
They didn't. Okay, good.
No.
So... And it's not a proselytizing organization at all, because we're not interested in converting anybody who's not Jewish. For them, we believe in the seven Noahide laws, which we'll get to perhaps. Mm-hmm. But is the encourage to give the Jew a connection to their own religion, their own heritage, and their own tradition. And it's been tremendously successful. People have been very turned on about being able to observe one holiday, one hearing. Like, I'll give you an example. You know, we're supposed to, the most important part of this high holidays, which just came off, mm-hmm. is on Rosh Hashanah, we sound the shofar. That's part of the service. You have to go to the temple. People buy tickets. But today, many Jews are not really interested in going through the whole process of going buying tickets, or they're not interested, they're not exactly sure how the prayers speak to them. So we go around, take the shofar, and we go around town, and we sound the shofar and bring it to Jews wherever they are. So we'll go to the plaza, Santa Fe Plaza, and we sound the shofar there every year. We go to Whole Foods, and we sound the shofar there. And we go to Trader Joe's, and we sound the shofar there, because if there's a Jew who hasn't been practicing or hasn't been involved, but his soul is connected, he's been in for 3,000 years, just because he's unsure, just because they're not really inspired by it, it's important for them to do this particular ritual called a mitzvah, any good deed. So that's what Chabad stands for around the world.
My perception, if you've been listening, is, isn't it interesting how much we share, I'll say evangelical Christians with Chabad. I would tell you that doctrinally, they are what we would call conservative Bible-believing believers. They're not liberal. They believe that God's word is God's word. The Tanakh is God's word. Mm-hmm. There are different congregations in Judaism, as there are denominations, we call them in Protestantism, which can be fairly conservative to very progressive / liberal, etc.
Sure.
You see that in Judaism, but Chabad is my term, I'm not telling them what they are, the conservative, very Bible basic believer. And you see how they're taking just the basic Bible truths to the world. Mm-hmm. Okay? Well, they aren't evangelicals in the sense of proselytizing, but they're evangelicals in the sense of taking the word to the world. By example also, by their witness, by their testimony. Sounds very evangelical to me, but we won't call you that.
Well, and Rabbi, I also don't want to put words in your mouth, but I want to tell you what I just heard. What I heard you describe is you're teaching people the difference between being religious and believing.
Okay.
And we have many, many people that are caught up in religion, and they go through the motions, or they don't, or they pretend that they do. But they don't actually understand God. They don't actually try to have a relationship with God. They don't try to listen to God. And so I have a sensitivity in what you're describing, that God has something to teach us, and God is real, and God is speaking to us. And you're bringing in Eva Schloss, the stepsister of Anne Frank, on November 17th to the Lincecum Performing Arts Center in Santa Fe. And because I believe, and we'll be back after these messages to get your response, but I believe you're doing this because God has something to say to your people and to Christians and anybody else who wants to attend. So more coming up. Stay with us on ABQ Connect. We'll be right back.
I'm Rob Sneed, General Manager at Power Ford. All dealerships have the same incentives. Big rebates, customer cash, we've all got them. The difference is in what the dealership does for you. And at Power Ford, it's all about you. You'll get a better deal and a better experience. And every new vehicle comes with the confidence of a 100,000-mile warranty, complimentary maintenance, and roadside assistance. Find your ride at mypowerford.com or come see us. We're on the affordable side of Albuquerque, on Montaño, west of I-25.
Call 888-243-8183 for details.
This is a fresh thought. Listen up to Levi Lusco.
New life, the triumph of new life, that when you believe in Jesus, there's something so violently that changes inside of you, it can only be compared to a baby being born. It's not exactly that, but it's so like that. It's the closest possible comparison. Something new is born inside of you. And this is possible because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. He anchors the new life in the resurrection together. He talks about how we have new hope, new birth, a living hope, only because Jesus Christ rose from the dead. So this is where we anchor our faith. We don't go, well, you know, the Old Testament and da 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 da. It's like, no. Jesus rose. That's why we believe the Old Testament. Because the fulfillment of all the promises. Because Christ rose, I know I have new life. Because Christ rose, I have this living hope.
For more fresh thoughts, go to levilusco.com.
Is there something about your house that chills you? Are there strange sounds coming from your furnace? When darkness falls, do your pipes clank and moan? Whatever it is, give the guys at Bosca Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing a call at 444-7200. Their friendly service professionals are ready to bust even the scariest of home HVAC issues. Just dial Bosca at 444-7200. That's 444-7200. 7200.
Take your knowledge of Scripture to a whole new level with online classes from Veritas International University. Learn more about the Bible on your schedule while working toward a certificate or fully accredited undergraduate or graduate degree that will impact your spiritual life for the rest of your life. Select teachings from the Bible from 30,000 feet are now part of the distance learning curriculum at Veritas International University with online classes from Pastor Skip Heitzig, including Old Testament Survey, New Testament Survey, Genesis, and Revelation. When you complete the Bible from 30,000 feet curriculum and connect with Calvary College, you'll receive a special certificate from Calvary Church. Through Veritas, you can take online, fully accredited classes working towards a bachelor's, master's, or a PhD. The spring semester is quickly approaching. For a full list of classes and to enroll, go to viu.ves.edu. That's viu.ves.edu. You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
From the Power Ford Studios, Faith Family Ford, Power Ford, you are joining us this afternoon with Rabbi Levertov. He is with the Santa Fe Jewish Center, Chabad, in Santa Fe, New Mexico, and John Sondager, who is with Yad Biyad, and John is a retired attorney?
Semi-retired.
What does that mean? You play golf at 3 o'clock in the afternoon every day?
Fridays.
Oh, Fridays.
Shabbat. I'm semi-retired. I still do some estate planning, but I'm also the executive director of an organization that builds churches and hope centers, orphanages in the former Soviet Union. We'll talk about that another time.
Absolutely. Well, it's fascinating to me that we have a Jewish rabbi and a Christian evangelist, really, in many ways. And we're trying to understand each other this afternoon. And we've got a special event coming up that's going to help Christians, Jews, and people of all religions. I mean,
or non-religion.
Yeah, or if not. And I want to ask.
Which is a religion on itself.
Yeah.
Rabbi, I want to ask this question. I hope this is not insensitive, but would people of Islamic faith in Santa Fe be welcome to come to this?
I would love for them to come.
Well, and I
have some. I actually do, you know, it's a good point. I should mention it to somebody. I do have some friends there. There is a community there, Arabic community. And we have some friends there, so I would really hope they would come.
I want to ask the question. I mean, we all have a perception that Muslims and Jews and Christians don't get along. Would you say that's true, or would you say that's only in a fanatical type of groups, and the rest of the people in this world are willing to love each other and get along and work things out? We're probably never going to agree on a lot of matters of faith, but don't you think it's possible that we can live together and in hope and love and community?
Absolutely. I don't see why not. Not only that, but I think it's we're getting to there. The world is now trembling. The world is now an incredible place where, on one hand, we've come so far. As far as technology goes, as far as life expectancy, as far as health, as far as religion practice, I believe it's much easier for anybody to practice a religion, whatever religion they are. And yet we're seeing such dark times, and we're like baffled by it. I mean, we've gone through this already. Now people are still fighting, and what are they fighting about? And when you come down to it, it's not really about religion. And I don't think it's a religion that's really it's bugging everybody. Maybe they use the religion to bring to unify people to bring against other people, but I don't know. I'm not so sure that it's the religion that really breaks everybody apart.
I've been to Kazakhstan, Tajikistan, Uzbekistan, and all the stands, and those are Muslim people. They have families, they have children, they love each other. There are fanatics, just as there are irrational, fanatic Christians that call themselves Christians, and I have to question that.
Sure.
But these people, we believe that we should all be one. Now, we're not going to be one because we have differences, but that doesn't mean, you know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, and the commandments are love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. And then the parable of who's your neighbor. Well, it wasn't another Jew. It was a Samaritan. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's almost a different religion. That's almost back then. That was almost like Muslims and Jews in the Middle East.
Sure.
I won't go into that. But there's an opening, I think, an opportunity through the midst of all this chaos and fear and anger and hurt to try and resolve some of that. And I don't have the answer to it, but Jim, I think you're absolutely right. We don't have a choice. I'm sorry. We are commanded to love one another.
Well, and you know, in some ways, I feel very comfortable with our conversation this afternoon because we're here trying to learn about each other. We're here trying to let people know about a special event. I might restate that. Eva Schloss, she is the stepsister of Anne Frank. Many Christians are familiar with the Diary of Anne Frank. I know when I was being brought up in the Albuquerque Public Schools, it was mandatory reading. It was a very inspirational story, but it was also heartbreaking and just unimaginable to many of us. So when you're not reminded of these kind of things on a frequent basis, I mean, I hadn't really heard about Anne Frank probably for 30 years until we started talking about doing the show together. So this is going to be an incredible reminder. Eva Schloss is coming to us from England. She's going to be speaking at the Lensick Performing Arts Center on Sunday, November 17th at 1 o'clock. Rabbi, how do you get tickets to this event?
Lensick.org.
Lensick, and that's LENSIC.org.
Or you can go to our website at santafejcc.com/hope.
Right.
And she was, I mean, of course, Anne Frank is probably the most famous victim of the Holocaust, if you will. And after the Holocaust, so, as I mentioned earlier, she knew Anne before the Holocaust, and she also helped her mother, Eva Schloss's mother, helped Otto Frank, Anne's father, publish the diaries and go through them and what to do with them. And they became very friendly because they both have lost much of their families. So she was very involved in the Diary of Anne Frank. It wasn't not just
sure
she knew her, but she actually was involved in publishing of those diaries. So, but again, her what's amazing about her is that her message is an uplifting message.
Yes.
And it's so important for people to hear it today because as much as you knew about it, and you it was mandatory reading, and I know it's mandatory reading for many different schools in Santa Fe, but it's getting less and less real to so many youngsters. Because there are very few survivors left. There are a handful. Don't know if they have to be up in age. And it's fewer and fewer. And now it's becoming sort of a memory. And unfortunately, as we know in history, people forget what different parts of the history is. And you could just rewrite history. And people, besides people actual denying, it becomes, even those who don't deny, it becomes like so out of our consciousness because it's not really part of our world.
We are stuck in current history, meaning no history. And I'm not criticizing millennials or whatever you want to call it, but my father was in World War II. My grandfather was in World War I. I have a connection to him. Mm-hmm. My children have no connection to World War I or World War II other than through me, but their parents, my children's age, I'm 72, we were Vietnam-era people. So there's always that connection. Well, that connection from the 1930s and 40s, World War II is, and the Holocaust is lost. And the expression, lest we forget, should be on all of our lips. And that's why Holocaust education, I think, should continue. Because it's not just a history lesson about a really bad guy named Hitler and some bad people called Nazis who did some bad things to some nice people. It's about evil that was allowed to exist. And that takes different forms, and I'll get off my soapbox, but I'm just thinking that this is important that we are even talking about it right now to your audience, that
yes.
They understand that anti-Semitism is on the rise again.
Yes. We have Rabbi Levertov. He is with the Santa Fe Jewish Center, Chabad in Santa Fe, and John Sondager with Yad Biyad. Their ministry is doing things worldwide. We have one final segment with these gentlemen. Stay with us on ABQ Connect. We'll be right back.
How does KMKT mean business? KMKT is in the business of sharing the gospel. KMKT is also supported by local businesses who we, in turn, encourage you to support with your patronage. Here's Steve Ryman visiting one such business.
We're in studio with Elaine Ramos from Ramos Real Estate. Elaine, thanks so much for joining us again today.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me, Steve.
One of the things we want to touch on today is credit scores. Everyone's an expert, it seems. I'm sure you have plenty of folks show up in your office, and they've probably predetermined whether or not they're at one score or another and how to take care of it. But the truth is there's so much that you've learned in the years you've done this,
definitely,
that it really benefit them to come talk to you.
That's right, especially with the new abilities to check your credit scores online. Unfortunately, a lot of people use that to determine whether or not they can qualify for a home, but that information is incorrect. And often they'll come with credit score and be concerned they can't get a home. But often that is incorrect, and it's always higher. So definitely we want them to come in and get that checked.
Okay, so say you have a decent score, but you're looking for the best loan at the best rate, and you find yourself just a few points away from getting into the next better rate or better package. What do you do at that point?
So there's a program called Rapid Rescore that Eleanor Hutt of Waterstone Mortgage offers, and I'll let Eleanor tell you about it.
Hi, guys. Thank you for allowing me to be here and share some of the tools that we offer that will help you get your credit score raised. I've seen them go up as high as, 10 points to 80 points. So it just depends where you're at, and that's why it's very important to speak with a professional that can tell you exactly where you stand.
And it could be changed in just a matter of days.
Correct. It the normal way to get your scores up, you could take up to 2 to 3, 4 months going through a credit repair company, whereas the Rapid Rescore is a matter of days.
Wow. Elaine, if folks want to find out more about this, I know you've got an easy way for them to catch up with you.
You bet. If they can call me at 505-379-6845 or at my website at RamosRealEstateNM.com.
To hear your business featured on KNKT, email advertise@knkt.com.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
The stepsister of Anne Frank, most of us anyway, have read the book, The Diary of Anne Frank, which is a compilation of things that Anne Frank wrote as they were hiding from the Germans before she was sent to Auschwitz. And we are promoting and helping Rabbi Levertov talk about Eva Schloss, the stepsister of Anne Frank, coming to Santa Fe on November 17th at 1 o'clock p.m. She'll be speaking at the Lensic Performing Arts Center. You can go to Lensic, LENSIC.org, to pick up tickets. And, it's going to be an amazing event. She's coming all the way from England. She's 90 years old. Rabbi, I want to ask you, what is it that the world needs to know about the nation of Israel and the Jewish people?
So we are the people that are supposed to be, as John mentioned, we're supposed to be a light unto the nations. We are, hopefully we're living up to that. Many times I speak to my congregation, I say, what do anti-Semites want from us? And I say they want us to live a more Jewish life. Because they see there's something there that they're so gung-ho against getting rid of us that it points to something much deeper within us. And therefore, we have to live up to that. Sometimes I say, they claim that Jews run the banks and run the world and take, and so why not just do it? If they claim
they don't run the NBA, though. They're not tall enough.
But who are all the...
No, don't go there.
Okay, fine. But take Israel. People have high standards for Israel. They're giving us, it's not only double standards, but triple standards. For everybody else, it's okay if they could defend themselves. But Israel, you have to be concise. You're only allowed to hit any terrorists, and you can't hit any, and no collateral damage, and you have to be over careful. It's impossible because the focus on Israel is because it's a focus on right there is a clash of civilizations, a clash of good and evil. And we're charged with bringing this godliness, this holiness to the world and teaching the world. And the world wants that from us. So as Jews, we have a tremendous responsibility. We're called the chosen people, and we weren't chosen just to go shopping in Bloomingdale's. We were chosen to perhaps take on the suffering of the world, as we've done, but also to live that spiritual life, to bring holiness to the world, to make the world aware of what it is to live a godly life and what God wants of us.
They also are a blessing because the Tanakh in Genesis, it's God said to Avram, Abraham, I will bless those who bless you. And I have a theory that I've mentioned before that why is the United States so great? I don't think we're the smartest. For example, we're all immigrants. My grandfather, for example, was a Norwegian immigrant, very, very minimal education, came here, was a carpenter, became a citizen by fighting in the World War I in the trenches. We didn't, our Statue of Liberty says, give us your poor, your hired, your huddled masses yearning for free. We didn't hire the best. So why are we so wonderful? I hate to say great, but how are we so wonderful? Because I hope that Rabbi would agree that this country, overall, there's been some blemishes, has been the safest place for Jews throughout history, ever since they were. So I will bless those who bless you. I believe the United States has been blessed. One of the reasons is because we formed a Judeo-Christian ethic in our Constitution, and we have protected Jews. That's why they are a blessing to us, because we have been blessed through them.
I would second that. And what's, if you look closely, many times whenever there's a shift in the relationship between Israel and between the United States and Israel, whenever the United States wants to put a little more pressure or hurt that, all of a sudden things don't...
Look out.
Look out. And the Rabbi Schneerson, my Rebbe, would point out that on the United States dollar, it says in God we trust,
yes,
which is incredible because I don't know any other currencies that have that, but there's something there about bringing God into even the currency. When it comes to finances, we should know that God blesses us, and that's why we have to follow certain ethics and certain rules. And I'd like to shift a little. There's we spoke about the Judeo-Christian values or ethics, and there's right now in the Torah, as you mentioned, we're reading the story of Noah and the Ark. By the way, it's Noach.
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 There we go.
So.
And it's Ark.
Yes. So when there's a seven universal laws that were given to Adam and then reiterated to Noach. As he comes out of the Ark, God warns him about murder. And every person is created in God's image. That's why we shouldn't murder anyone. So there are seven Noahide laws, somewhat similar to the Ten Commandments, but a little different. And these are universal laws which God expects everyone to live by. That's number one, is not to deny God, which is against idolatry, not to blaspheme God, not to murder, not to engage in illicit sexual relations, if you have a normal family life, not to steal, not to eat from a live animal, not to cruelty to animals, and to create a legal system of justice. Mm-hmm. These are the seven Noahide universal laws, which Judaism is what Judaism would teach to the nations of the world. Mm-hmm. It would also include some charity and other ideas of mitzvot. Now, I want to go back to what you mentioned earlier, that inspiring people to have a certain belief system. In Judaism, I think, especially with the Chabad Rebbe, his focus was on action. Regardless of how you feel and how we believe, if we gave charity to somebody, we helped someone cross the street, that act can't be taken away from us. And the same thing every time we did a mitzvah, which is a ritual, we gave charity, or we did in Judaism the tefillin, or we put up a mezuzah on the door, every act is most important. The feeling that comes with it and the belief that comes with it is secondary even to the act. So that's perhaps a little unique, or what was brought out within the Chabad, within the Jewish community by Chabad.
Thank you so much for learning together with us. John, you have a final word? We have just a couple seconds left.
I do, and that's to thank Calvary Church, who has consistently stood with Israel, who has supported Israel through going to Israel and has been standing alongside the Jews. God bless Calvary.
Don't forget, Eva Schloss coming to Santa Fe, Lenzic Performing Arts Center, Sunday, November 17th. Thank you, Rabbi Levertov and John Sondager. We will talk to you next time.
Thank you so much for having us.
ABQ
Connect with Jim Williams is a production of KNKT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KNKT. If you missed any or part of today's show, get the free podcast at abqconnect.online.